At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Well, it's all over for Venue, the joint venture streaming service of ESPN, Warner Brothers, Discovery, and Fox. And obviously, it's not really all over for Venue. They could still appeal. They do plan to appeal. They could win on appeal. But certainly, as far as launching in time for this football season, that's out of the picture after a ruling on Friday. Welcome back to the Sports Media Watch podcast. I'm John Lewis, along with Drew Lerner. Let's go ahead and get started. But first, don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. So this decision came down Friday. Judge Margaret Garnett in New York ruling that Fubo, which is suing Venue on antitrust grounds, would be granted a preliminary injunction preventing the service from launch. Obviously, this is kind of a disaster for Venue because it's August 20th. The football season begins relatively quickly. And there's no point in launching this thing in, you know, January, right? So it's a big blow. And what's really interesting is that Judge Garnett wrote that she believed, and this is all kind of boilerplate, right? When you grant an injunction, it means that you think that the people requesting one will be successful in their eventual argument. So it's not necessarily notable that she said that, but it does say the indication is from this judge that Fubo would win at trial, that Fubo is arguing that Venue is an antitrust violation, a restraint of trade, and the argument is compelling. I'll be completely honest, when Fubo sued, I just thought, you know, sour grapes. But realistically, this entire industry has been built for 50-odd years on if you want the channels people want to watch, you have to take the channels people don't want to watch. That's the bundle. And Venue is eschewing the bundle. It goes to show that the networks that are requiring the bundle's existence understand that it is an onerous requirement. And if they're not going to subject themselves to that, then why in the world should they be allowed to subject Fubo and the other distributors to that? So I think it's a compelling argument. And I think certainly if you're Fubo, I don't want to have to carry Freeform. I mean, I don't want to have to charge, you know, people $90 a month so they can watch the 700 Club, which I think is still airing on Freeform after all these years. Like, it's a ridiculous thing. So, you know, I tend to agree that Fubo might be successful at trial. And, you know, certainly anytime you get Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders involved, there's a lot of people whose eyes glaze over just at the mention of those two names. And, you know, some of the stuff in their letter, because obviously there was a letter by the two of them and the Castro that did not run for president, Joaquin Castro, there was a letter from these three lawmakers to the DOJ requesting oversight of Venue. Some of the grounds kind of make you go, well, do you know what you're talking about, right? Venue wasn't going to control 80% of sports content. That's a ridiculous comment. But where that letter is correct and where Fubo is correct is that it has an advantage over the other distributors because it does not have to carry all those other channels. And that is a burdensome thing. It's a burdensome thing to require as part of the bundle that channels that are objectively unpopular and could not exist on their own be included with channels that people actually do want to watch. So, Drew, as I bring you in, I do tend to think that, you know, one way or the other, you know, Venue is going to have to be the same kind of product as Fubo. It's either going to have to include all those other channels, or Fubo is going to have to be freed up to not include all of those channels.
You know, the compelling argument for me from the venue side of things is like, what does Fubo offer, right? Because in the past, the reason distributors even existed in the first place was to provide the infrastructure, right? To provide the satellites, provide the fiber that would eventually get this to the end user, get the content to somebody's house, to on their TV screen, right? So that was kind of the primary role of the distributors. Now you have these virtual MVPDs like Fubo, and they're using other people's infrastructure, right? They're using broadband to distribute these channels. So where I'm sympathetic to the venue argument is that Fubo is just a glorified middleman. They're not adding a ton of value to the marketplace. That being said, there is certainly an argument when it comes to the bundling aspect of all of this, right? And Judge Garnett actually got at, you know, something that could even take Fubo's argument further, saying that bundling in general could be subject to antitrust litigation.
We're starting to see for the first time in a long time any level of governmental scrutiny to the things we've taken for granted as just the way the business operates. Well, this business operates in ways that violate the law. It does so flagrantly and all the time, right? And not just the networks. Every single draft that takes place is an antitrust violation. They came up with this little rule called the non-statutory labor exemption that allows for a bunch of illegal stuff to stand if it's negotiated in collective bargaining, which is nonsense, right? It's nonsense because 9 times out of 10, the negotiations in collective bargaining are done in such a fashion as to extract the most pain from the union. So the union is negotiating in a state of duress and agreeing to things that are illegal. And then those things stand forever in subsequent negotiations because, oh, well, the non-statutory labor exemption allowed it. But whatever. I'm not as pro-union as I sound. I used to be when I wrote my dissertation and my thesis, but then I just stopped. But certainly, look, let's be real. The fact is that there's a lot of illegal stuff that's allowed to happen. I mean, you know, look, I think the rationale in the Sunday Ticket case was ludicrous. I think the 1961 Sports Broadcasting Act obviously covers everything, not just broadcast TV. But it is a little rich that there's a 1961 Sports Broadcasting Act in the first place. It's a little rich, right? You know, the NFL got beaten to the punch for national television rights by the AFL and was scared about what that would mean for its smaller market teams. So Pete Rozelle gets, through Congress in what, months, a new law that allows it to violate antitrust. The antitrust exemption that baseball had was ridiculous. I mean, you know, the rules have always been kind of fudged for the networks and the leagues. And we're starting to see a little bit of scrutiny toward all the illegal stuff that has just been allowed to happen without really anyone even looking into it. Venue is something that you come up with if you are feeling that you have complete impunity, right? It's something that you come up with when you think, well, no one's going to stop us. Well, you know, Kevin Garnett used to prevent people from scoring after the whistle. He'd block their shot. Well, Margaret Garnett just blocked a shot as well in this case.
So here's where I'm kind of getting lost here, John. Let's take it from a consumer standpoint, right? Consumers, they want all of their sports as cheaply as possible and in as accessible a way as possible, right? So venue comes along and they're trying to solve, you know, both of those issues at once, right? Consumers don't want to have to pay for 18 different streaming services or, you know, packages of, you know, whatever, right, to view all their sports. They want everything in one place. So Venue's going to give you a lot of what you have in one place. And of course, they're also, you know, undercutting the market here because they're getting rid of all the bloat, right?
Yeah.
When it comes to Judge Garnett's ruling, right, saying this is anti-competitive, I can understand arguments about, you know, how Fox and Disney and Warner Brothers Discovery might interact with each other in the sports rights marketplace, when it comes to, you know, bidding against each other for properties. But what I can't understand is how this goes against, you know, the last 40 and 50 years of precedent of bundling stuff together. Because if consumers had to buy every single channel a la carte, you know, for the last 30 years, you know, maybe I could understand that argument, but they don't. They're able to buy everything all at once, and it does provide for a more seamless user experience, right?
But it also makes it so much more expensive. It's all the expense, right? I mean, why should I pay a cent? They should be paying me to include FXX, to include Freeform and HLN. Like, these channels are irrelevant. They've been irrelevant for years. Now, if you go back 20 years when cable was, you know, really big, you know, I mean, I've watched current TV before because Keith Olbermann was on it. I know, don't get me started on that. But, you know, I mean, I've watched some of these channels that today don't even exist. But especially now, Comedy Central is 23 and a half hours of South Park and then The Daily Show. And that's Comedy Central that used to have tons of originals. So you go back 20 years, the smallest channels were at least producing some worthwhile content. Now they're producing reruns, reruns, reruns. The Golden Girls is on country music television. For what? I mean, because they had one episode where Blanche's dad was a country music artist, right? I mean, what exactly are these channels offering in terms of value? So no one should be paying for any channel other than an ESPN, a Fox News, a CNN. You know, those are the only channels. Well, I included CNN. And obviously, CNN does belong on that list. But if you looked at the ratings, you might not necessarily say so. But again, to me, I just think it comes down to they're able to undercut because they are not including the. Well, they're able to undercut. Their price is not necessarily low, but the other prices are artificially high because those platforms have to pay for channels that nobody watches.
But here's the thing, John. The buyers, the distributors here, aren't also creating the content, right? The Fox, Disney, Warner Brothers Discovery, they're actually producing what you're seeing on your television, right? They're adding value in that way. So shouldn't they, as the owners of this content, be able to say, hey, if you want access to our premium stuff, you do have to buy our lesser watched channels, our lesser watched content, because we're the ones producing all of this, right? When we're taking our own inventory, our own product direct to consumer, we don't have to necessarily jump through those hoops and buy Animal Planet or buy HLN, because, you know, we can offer this at a cheaper rate by not doing that. To me, because they are actually the ones producing the content, it seems like they should have, you know, carte blanche to distribute it however they want, right?
Yeah, but if they distribute it in such a fashion that eliminates competition, then they can't do that. They can't do that. We still have antitrust law. I don't know why. No one really enforces it. We might as well get rid of it, right? But we still have antitrust law. And so if you, and look, the business exists, cable exists, right? So maybe if we were starting from scratch, there'd be no third-party bundles, the likes of Fubo, but they exist. And they are having to charge consumers an exorbitant price to pay for garbage that nobody is watching, right? And now Venue comes in with a much lower price because it does not, well, one, realistically, since they do own the content, they could, you know, I don't necessarily know that they'd have to pay more. I mean, my understanding is that the amount of money each channel receives with Venue is the amount of money that they are worth in the bundle.
Yes. Yeah.
So they would actually have to pay, it would have to raise the price. So by excluding those channels, they're able to come in at a lower price and undercut the competition. And then when that competition is driven out, then they will raise the price however the heck they want to.
Certainly.
Because they are the only game in town.
Yes. So this is where it gets dicey with how Judge Garnett ruled, right? I think this entire argument is predicated on the fact that Venue will receive mass adoption, right? Like, it's going to become a popular service. I don't actually know if that's the case. You have a lot of smart people in this industry, John, who still think that Venue is a niche service, even at this price point, because you're not getting all of the sports. You're getting 60% of, you know, what people would consider nationally relevant sports broadcasts, right? You're not getting the entire thing. So that argument, I think, is really predicated on this, you know, what if Venue becomes, you know, much bigger than the, you know, the three companies are saying, right? Obviously, publicly, they're saying something different than they are in private, right? I think Lachlan Murdoch said they're expecting 5 million subscribers in 5 years. Internally, they're looking at something that's approximately double that. But even at that adoption, you know, let's say 10 million in 5 years, right? That doesn't seem like it would be a big enough market share for it to matter on an antitrust level, right? That's only about, what, 1 in 7 people that are currently subscribed to the current pay TV ecosystem. You know, they would still have to, you know, sell to the distributors. There would be competition in the marketplace.
My perspective is any loss of market share for Fubo, for the other MVPDs, that is due to the fact that they have to charge more because they're including these extra channels. That's an antitrust violation. That is a restriction of competition, you know, and to me, and look, I'm not an antitrust lawyer or any kind of lawyer. Maybe that's.
Yeah. We should establish this. Right. Neither of us are antitrust experts.
But just based on the simple fact, it is, whether legally or not, whether it meets the legal definition or not, it's obviously harming competition to have to pay more for the same product, because you're including all this extraneous nonsense. And so even if, you know, Venue doesn't meet its expectations internally or even publicly, they're still going to pull away some folks who might have gotten Fubo. You know, for me, obviously I would get Venue for the NBA playoffs and the baseball playoffs. Very convenient, relatively cheap for now. Obviously, we're all intelligent people. You know, the price will go up with time, but for now, hey, $43, that's the amount of money you get when you put in all the bells and whistles to get a YouTube TV free trial plus your little bank offer. You know, I mean, to me, that's good for this season. It doesn't include all the channels. So what? You know, the reality is NBC wants to get upset, or CBS wants to get upset, get a cable network. They don't have one, right? So guess what? If you have an antenna, and you can get a cheap antenna for like $10, although it's not going to be great. If you have an antenna, you have 99% of the sports content that NBC and CBS have to offer. Nobody told NBC to shutter NBCSN, and nobody told CBS to make CBSSN irrelevant. So that, you know, those are, that's really the issue, right?
Yeah.
And when all is said and done, Venue plus an antenna, Venue plus even Peacock and Paramount Plus, I mean, granted, that's getting up there with those price increases, you know, it's still a pretty decent deal. And so if you're Fubo and you're not only charging, and little known secret about Fubo, you have no choice. If you're in a market where Fubo has RSNs, you're getting the RSN price. So Fubo used to be like $70-something a month, which is not great. But if you live in an RSN market and you have no choice, right? You're paying $90. I'm getting $90 a month for a service that doesn't even have Warner Brothers Discovery. Really? I'm not getting TNT or TBS, and I'm giving you $90 a month. They're at a significant disadvantage in a lot of different ways that aren't going to be fixed just by this decision. What they really need is the decision to be made that, you are no longer required to carry channels beyond the ones that you know. But then that's going to create a whole lot of other complications.
Oh, yeah, that undercuts the entire business model.
Yeah.
Where do we go from here, John? You know, this seems like it's going to be a tough square to circle. Obviously, we don't know if Venue will actually continue like it was planned, right? Publicly, they're saying they're going to appeal. That process will, of course, take time. And it will, of course, not be ready for this football season. Disney is looking to launch their ESPN direct-to-consumer product in fall of next year. So that'll be ready for the next football season. Of course, Warner Brothers Discovery looks a lot less attractive in this bundled venture next year after they're done with the NBA, presumably. So Venue as a venture is very much on life support here. Do you see them even pursuing this, you know, legal matter to its fullest extent, or do you think that, you know, the three companies here that are involved are just going to say, you know what, I'm done with this. Let's go try something else on our own?
The latter. One, I don't think there was ever all that much investment in this. It kind of just seemed like a side project, right? What's the thing that I like to say now? The side quest. You know, and yeah. To me, I don't get the sense that there's, you know, a lot of heartbreak in Bristol or Fox or wherever Warner Brothers Discovery is headquartered now. I mean, I don't think there's a lot of, you know, oh my goodness. Well, maybe for WBD, maybe for them. But for ESPN, they've got their own service coming out. And for Fox, Fox has never really cared that deeply about streaming. So, you know, but the reality is, where do we go from here? Let's go, you know, further. This industry, you know, in 10 years, where's it going to be? There's a lot of short-term decision-making. You know how old Adam Silver is? Adam Silver is 62 years old. That is the age that David Stern was when he suspended Ron Artest for the entire season, right? That was toward the end of Stern's run. Adam Silver is 62 years old. When the new NBA deal is over, he'll be 73, 74. He's not going to be the commissioner anymore, right? Bob Iger's not going to be at Disney in 10 years. You know, David Zaslav's not going to be at WBD in 10 minutes, really. I mean, look, who knows? Maybe he'll last a lot longer than we're thinking. But there's a lot of decisions being made by people who are not going to have to deal with where the industry is in 10 years. And a lot of us aren't, you know, I mean, the reality is, who knows what's going to happen? Maybe Mr. Beast will be running all of this in 10 years' time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
So if we're looking at a longer time horizon here, John, I'm curious, how does this end for the consumer? How do we finally come up with the cable version of streaming, right? Where we can access all the content that we want for one easy price I don't see how this is going to be solved if the courts are going to get in the way here and, you know, prevent these companies from bundling their content together. I really don't. There's going to have to be some sort of, you know, maybe artificial third party middleman. Maybe this is where Fubo, the Fubos of the world come in, that actually distribute the content, because other than that, you know, I don't see how me as a fan of sports is able to just, you know, put my credit card down in one place and get everything I want. Because, you know, I know this is what a lot of people are yearning for here. They don't want to have to keep up with all these different subscriptions. They just want one price where they can watch everything. And I'm not sure how that's going to happen with what is currently going on in the courts.
The reality of the matter is, I mean, nothing's going to, there's not going to be a solution. The solution is it's self-selecting. It's the current sports audience aging and aging and aging and exiting, right? That's what it is. It's not like this industry is creating new fans in the kinds of numbers that it needs to sustain itself. I mean, it's just not. Young kids today are watching Skibidi Toilet, right? That's what they're watching.
Is that real?
Yeah, you've never heard of that? I assume you would know about that more than I would.
No.
Well, the only reason I even know how to pronounce it, because I assumed it was Skibidi, is because Colbert did a bit on it that went viral because the bit was very bad. But this is what they're watching. It's going to be YouTube level content, TikTok level content, right? You know, it's kind of amazing. You know, the Little League World Series is going on. It's kind of amazing. There's enough kids who care about baseball to sustain the Little League World Series, right? I mean, where are we going, right? We are heading to oblivion. That's where this industry's going, right? And, you know, it's so funny, like Stephen A. and Pat McAfee making all this money. Guarantee nobody in this industry is going to be making that kind of money. I was going to say in 10 years, but we'll broaden it out and say in 20 years. There's not going to be a Stephen A. or a Pat McAfee in 20 years.
I don't know if I'm as doom-pilled as you are about the future of sports as entertainment. I still think there's going to be a sizable audience, maybe not as big as, you know,
well,
the golden
always,
age here.
Yeah. There'll always be a sizable audience if you add up every single channel and every single window into a combined figure like NBC did for the Olympics.
I'm just saying sizable in general. Like, I don't think people are going to stop watching sports. People have a thirst for competition. It is, you know, inherently one of the most engaging and entertaining pieces of content out there. It's literally the only thing that's keeping the current pay TV model intact. So maybe younger kids aren't watching sports in as large numbers as they used to, but I think either through growing up, maybe they become sports fans later in life, or maybe, you know, sports fans just maybe there's just a lower ceiling for the amount of sports fans that are willing to pay to watch, you know, professional competition. But, you know, I don't think it's going away anytime soon.
It's not going away, but you're not replenishing the audience. It's just going to be the same group that you have now, maybe a few young people coming in the minority. And, you know, when you have a dwindling fan base, when you have a dwindling user base, you're just trying to take advantage of them over and over and over again, because they are the junkies, right? You extract from them as much as you can. And hopefully you'll be long retired by the time it's, you know, the time to pay the piper.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. All right, John, let's go ahead and move on to a couple quick topics to close out the show. In news from last week, ESPN let go a couple high-profile talents right before the football season is getting started. Sunday NFL Countdown host Sam Ponder and NFL analyst Robert Griffin III both let go, reportedly due to financial reasons. In terms of Ponder's role, one of the more high-profile hosting roles at ESPN, although I don't know if I could name a single sentient being that watches Sunday NFL Countdown, two front runners for that spot are, of course, the ever present Mike Greenberg and Laura Rutledge, who hosts the NFL Live daily show for ESPN. So a little bit of intrigue there as to who gets that slot. John, what were your takeaways from the firing of Ponder and RG3?
Well, let's start with Ponder, right? So you said you don't know anyone who watches Sunday Countdown. People do watch it. It still gets, you know, a seven-figure audience in ESPN on Sunday mornings. But obviously, it had a much higher profile with Chris Berman as host. This is Chris Berman's baby. This is Chris Berman's baby, Sunday Countdown. And they had two obvious ears. One was Susie Culber, and the other was Trey Wingo. They chose, for no apparent reason, to go with someone who hadn't covered the NFL before, who was doing college football, and who did not do a bad job. I want to be really clear about something. Sam Ponder was fine, but she was, I think really to me, the comparison that I would make is Trevor Noah. Trevor Noah was a weird choice to host a daily show. Jon Stewart to Trevor Noah. Trevor had been there for like a couple of weeks. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't the obvious heir. Trevor didn't do a bad job, but I don't think anybody misses him on The Daily Show. I don't think anybody misses him on that show. It's an indictment of Trevor's run, which, again, was not a bad run, that they went right from Jon Stewart to Jon Stewart. When they bring back the person you replaced, that's an indication you didn't necessarily have the impact that maybe you might have wanted to have. So, to me, that's what I would say is the comparison for Sam Ponder. Like Trevor Noah, he was there for a while. Like Trevor Noah, he did not do a bad job. Like Trevor Noah, it made no sense to give her that role. It was a nonsensical decision when they eschewed the two obvious ears, the Trey Wingo and Susie Culber, to give Sam Ponder that role. And I think Sam Ponder being there is one of the reasons why the show's profile fell off. Because it wasn't, she didn't do a bad job. He was perfectly fine. But that's Chris Berman's show, right? That is the Berman show. That, well, I guess maybe NFL primetime. But like, that was one of the biggest and most important shows that ESPN had on its air. And it is kind of just a show that was just there. Beyond anything else, he didn't do anything else. He's not doing NFL other than Countdown. You don't see her during the week. You don't see her on any other ESPN programming, which is, of course, the primary reason why she lost her job, because it does not make sense for ESPN to pay big money to someone who's only there once a week when they have Laura Rutledge, who is a much higher profile member of their NFL staff. Now, of course, ESPN being ESPN, instead of going with the obvious pick, which is Rutledge, they want to give it to Mike Greenberg. If you go with Greenberg, it simply signals to everybody that you are still of the mind that people are watching ESPN for ESPN and not for the show, not for the program, not for the league, right? You don't give that job to a guy whose NFL contributions are his ridiculously played up love of the Jets. You don't give that role to Mike Greenberg unless you are fundamentally unserious, right? That is ESPN saying, clown nose on. If they pick Greenberg over Rutledge, okay? So that's my point of view on that. You know, let's just mention the elephant in the room. Sam Ponder has views on gender and sports that people on Twitter don't like. Do I think that's why she lost her job? No. Do I think that made it easier for ESPN to make a decision that it had already made? Probably, right? Same thing with RG3. Now let's get into RG3 here because I have my theories. The croissant did it, right? That croissant picture. Did you not see the croissant picture?
Gosh, am I not online enough for this conversation? I didn't even know Sam Ponder had certain political views, and now RG3 is famous for a croissant picture?
Yeah, you should check out that croissant picture. Let's be clear about this. RG3 is a lot of energy, boundless energy for a man in his mid-30s. I got to credit him for that. But the fact of the matter is, he oftentimes goes to places that are inappropriate, right? I don't want to even use the terminology for what RG3 did with that croissant. But obviously, if you know of Watergate, you know what I'm talking about. All right. So look, I do think that it's the same circumstances with, as with Sam Ponder. ESPN had a decision that they had already made. They made their decision on RG3 when they hired Jason Kelce and gave him RG3's spot. But the croissant made it easier. That I honestly do think that if there was any chance they were going to change their mind once they saw that picture, it was over.
I think I do agree with your point that these are not the reason that these two were let go, but it certainly didn't hurt when it came to ESPN's decision making. You know, when it comes to who's going to fill the Sunday NFL countdown seat, I could not agree with you more on the Mike Greenberg point. As you said, this would prove that ESPN is wholly unserious about putting on an actually compelling and informative pregame show. Well, I guess it's not even technically a pregame show, but a Sunday morning NFL show. Laura Rutledge has, you know, proven her worth on NFL Live. She, you know, does very well on the draft coverage leading up to that, you know, tentpole event for that league. It couldn't be clearer that she should be the person filling that seat. If you're not going to bring, you know, Chris Berman back, as if you're to go with your Daily Show analogy here, and Greenberg, I mean, I don't know. There's just a level of overexposure to him. I mean, I thought that before he even got the NBA studio job. He's just everywhere all the time, and I couldn't even think of one compelling thing he has to say. There is this, you know, contrived Jets fandom that needs to stay away from Sunday NFL countdown. You know, he's, I guess, good, right? Like, he's good in the sense that he can, you know, be the traffic cop and get from A to B to C segment and then throw to commercial. He's plenty talented at that, but I can't imagine anyone tunes in to see Mike Greenberg. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. I mean, look, obviously Get Up has survived long enough to be a staple of the ESPN daytime lineup. So you have to give some credit to Greenberg for that, I guess. I mean, the reality is people do watch him, you know, but there's also an element of company man aspect to this. Yeah. And, you know, enough. Nobody cares about your internal politics. Enough. Give us an NFL studio show that is worthy of 3 hours of our time on Sunday mornings. Because, you know, there is competition. I can go watch Rich Eisen do it. I don't have to sit down and watch Mike Greenberg do it. I can go watch Rich Eisen do it. Or I could just, you know, sit down on a Sunday morning and read a book or something. I'm not going to do that. But, you know, I mean, like, enough is enough. Give us the best show you can, not reward your longest tenured people who happen to do right by the bosses.
There's just a level of cringing that goes on when I watch Mike Greenberg on television. One more thing on RG3. I do believe he will probably land somewhere else. Maybe not for the NFL, but for college, certainly. I think there's going to be plenty of suitors out there for him. He is a talent. Even if, you know, ESPN believed that Jason Kelce would do a better job in his seat, which is, you know, a totally legitimate thing to think. RG3 has something when it comes to broadcasting games and also in the studio, I believe. So I think there will be suitors for him. And I would not expect RG3 to spend the entire 24-25 season on the sidelines.
Well, he's young-ish still. And the reality is that if he tones down some of the inappropriate aspects. And I know it's fun sometimes to be inappropriate, and you sometimes can't avoid if you have a sly joke or a double entendre or something. But, you know, you got to tone it down. You got to relax a little bit. You be like Bill Walton. Bill wasn't giving, you know, both barrels, right, of all of the double entendres and all that. Be like Bill Walton was on NBC. And if you can do what Bill did when he worked for NBC for all those years, then later on, at the end of your career, you're established enough where you can be your full self, right? But you're not that established yet. And you can lose your job, right? Like he just did. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. He's obviously very talented. But, you know, I like I said, if there was any chance ESPN was going to keep him, I think that croissant picture was the end of that.
Yeah. All right, John, one more topic. This is a bit of a last week's news this week thing, but, you know, we were off the airwaves last week doing some travel of mine. So we will go ahead and cover it now quickly. Final thoughts on NBC's Olympic viewership. Of course, very successful when it comes to how they are communicating this via their press releases, but also just very successful in general. Their normal Nielsen plus, you know, Adobe Analytics primetime only numbers were pretty strong. I think around 18 million a night. I believe I got that right, but you can correct me if I'm wrong. So, John, just final thoughts on this year's Paris Olympics.
I think the numbers were quite good by any standard. Obviously, NBC's combined figure is ridiculous, and I don't take it seriously. But, you know, like, as you said, the numbers, even without that combination, are quite good by today's standards, up from Tokyo, and indicative of a very strong property. The Olympics is as strong a property as here is in TV, which I'm not sure people thought that was the case before Paris. They're very successful. Great numbers for the final of the men's basketball tournament. You know, over 20 million viewers for basketball. You're not going to see that again for a long time. You know, really probably the last mass audience to watch LeBron and Steph and Kevin Durant, because those guys are not getting back to the NBA finals again anytime soon. So, you know, and even if they did, we know the NBA finals is not what it used to be. So very successful, very significant viewership. Do I consider the NBC numbers, you know, like legitimate? I don't think they, like I said, I've said it multiple times, I don't think there was anything fraudulent going on. But obviously, you know, it's ridiculous to have all the combinations that they had. So I you know, you say, oh, wow, 30 million viewers. Yeah, right. I mean, obviously, that's not the number. But still, I think it was a very successful run for NBC.
Yeah, no doubt. And just without looking at the numbers, just kind of living life in the United States, being on social media and talking to people out in the world, it seemed like it caught on, right? It seemed like there was a lot of people that were engaged one way or the other with the Olympics. So I think this was a pretty great success for NBC. And you got to think there's going to be a lot of momentum going into 2028 in Los Angeles.
Maybe. I mean, 2028 is a long way from now.
It's true.
And, you know, we have no idea what's going to happen. We have no idea what things are going to be like. This was a very unique circumstance of having, you know, Simone Biles still competing, Steph making his debut, and LeBron returning. You know, Noah Lyles, who a lot of people don't like necessarily, but an American having success, Shaqari being able to make her debut, like so many names that had been built up over years. You know, Shaqari and Noah Lyles will probably be there in 28. Simone Biles might be there in 2028. I doubt LeBron will be there. Maybe Steph. I doubt that too. Probably Durant, but Durant's always there. You're not guaranteed to have the same level of star power in 2028. You're not guaranteed to have the same level of good vibes in 2028. You're not going to have the same level of scenery, by the way, because even though it's an American Olympics, what exactly is the scenery in Los Angeles? What, the freeway?
Yeah, it's not great.
No. And you know, we just, obviously, because it'll be in America, it's going to do better. The time slots will be the best we've seen for the Olympics in a long time. But don't, you know, I mean, look, Atlanta was not as big a draw as Lillehammer, obviously, you know, I mean, winter to summer and Nancy and Tanya. But like Atlanta in 96 was not nearly as big a draw as Lillehammer was in 1994, right? You know, the reality is that just because an Olympics is in America doesn't mean it's going to outperform a foreign Olympics. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah. One thing I'll be interested in is whether or not the kind of special nature of the LA 28 Olympics is a bit overshadowed by hosting the World Cup in 26, because I think the World Cup might feel a bit bigger, a bit grander. It doesn't come around to the United States as often, seemingly, because, you know, the U.S. can get Winter and Summer Olympics. And of course, it comes 2 years sooner. So I don't know if any of the luster will wear off about hosting these grand international events in the 2 years between the World Cup and the 28 Olympics. But, you know, food for thought.
I don't really think that'll be a big impact. I mean, you had the 94 World Cup leading into the 96 Olympics, right? Sure. And it's exactly the same. 94 World Cup, 96 Olympics, 02, Winter Olympics.
In Salt Lake.
26 World Cup, 28 Olympics, and then 34. Yeah. Literally the exact same.
Yeah, that's interesting, actually. I didn't think of that. All right. Good episode, John. Covered a lot of ground. I'm sure we'll have more to talk about next week. Why don't you go ahead and close us out?
ESPN reportedly bringing back the sports reporters. You know, nostalgia, right? Absence makes the heart grow fonder. I mean, it was on more recently than you think. I mean, it was on pretty recently. But okay. I mean, hey, it's going to be apparently like Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, who are not sports reporters. I mean, they play by play is not reporting, really, is it? But whatever. Bring back all the brands. Let's make it 1997 again. I'm sure it'll take this time. So that was one thing I wanted to quickly mention. And Caitlin Clark's return to the court, more great ratings to the WNBA, 2.2 million for the game against Seattle. I believe that's the most watched game in Storm history. It's got to be. Storm won 4 WNBA titles. That was their most watched game. Caitlin Clark effect, not at all impacted by the Olympic break. We'll talk about more sports media topics next week. College football is back. Everyone's like, oh, can't wait for college football. Can't wait for the NFL. I'd love like another July between now and then.
Oh, God, don't say that. I'm ready. Well, bring it on.
This just been ESPN Clown Nose On. Who was it? It was Bob Raceman with the fake mustache. It's actually a real mustache. Looks fake. We used to call them the Bristol Clown Community College, which is unnecessarily mean to people who went to community college. But they have named Mike Greenberg the host of Sunday NFL Countdown. What a disrespectful decision to Laura Rutledge, who earned it. But whatever, it ain't my network. So we'll be back next week to talk more sports media topics. Thanks for listening.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.